Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Presented by EMP180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area because it works. Visit EMP180.com and get empowered. Joining us right now, like he does every Wednesday at 9 as we go in the clubhouse, Mike Rizzo, President of Baseball Ops, General Manager of the Nationals. Presented by Burke and Herbert Bank, unexpectedly different. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Junkies. How are you?
Hey, hello, finally, Mike. Finally have a little bit of a winning streak here, right? 4 or 5, we've been desperate for this. At least when we talked to you, it's nice to come on and you know, be on a little bit of a heater.
Yeah, it's nice to come on after a win once in a while. Yeah, there's no question about it. It makes life a little easier for both of us, doesn't it?
Well, it's just more fun. And, you know, yesterday, another outstanding performance from Stras. Talk about him this year. He seems to just be really pitching at a peak form, and he's mixing it up more than ever, right?
Yeah, I think you saw the transition probably a couple years ago of Stras becoming that big time power pitcher, strikeout artist, to a guy that can pitch with really good stuff. He's a 4-5 pitch mix guy. He's got great command, and the thing he does best, I think, is he commands his fastball probably as good or better than anybody in baseball. So I think that sets up all his other arsenal, and he's really got the art of pitching. He's really at a high right now of that.
Yeah, he was good last night, man. He's just
mixing it up more than ever.
He was just locked in last night.
And I know that sometimes I look at it and go, well, he's not pumping at 97 like he used to, but he's just changing speeds and just doing it in a more artful way now.
He pitches about 93, 94, but he's got 96, 97 in his pocket when he needs it several times a game. But he just doesn't sit there like he used to in the old days, where he'd rear back and fire and then throw that changeup and curve.
Right.
He kind of mixes and matches and really hits his spots. And I think there was a time where he really turned into that type of pitcher. If you recall, he kind of abandoned going from the windup and went strictly from the stretch to have his mechanics a little bit more sound and consistent. So I think all of that has helped. I think our coaching staff has helped him. And he's just a dogged worker and it really wants to be as good as he can be. And, he's turned into a real force for us. And, since we've drafted the guy, he's been as good as anybody when he's healthy. He's one of the top 5 pitchers in all of baseball when healthy. And we're trying to figure out ways to get him on the mound 200 innings per season.
Mm-hmm. So I tune in late. I think they're on the 7th inning or so. And then he's pitching a gem. And then Bear Claw comes in. I got to tell you, for some reason, I like him. I like this Bear Claw guy. But he's had his moments where he struggled. And last night, I thought he pitched pretty well. But one mistake to this kid, I never even heard of this Austin Riley. He looks like Dale Murphy. And now all of a sudden, we're back in the same situation. And we're clenching here for the last inning and a half or so, but he gets out of it, and then Doolittle comes in, and Doolittle does his thing. I didn't realize Doolittle had done some tweaking, over the weekend of his mechanics.
And what exactly did he do?
Well, I think he smoothed himself out a little bit. I think he took out that little toe tap that he was employing there for a while, and kind of went back to what made him great last season and early this year. You know, he logged a lot of innings for us early in the season. He's a guy that we try and be very, very careful with since we've acquired him from Oakland because of his shoulder history. But he's a guy that we have to count on a lot. And since we've acquired him, he's been one of the best relief pitchers in all of baseball and one of the top closers in the game. And he's a very smart, educated guy. And, he felt that his mechanics were out of whack a little bit, went into the video room with our coaching staff and kind of mapped out a way to help it work better and for him to be more fluid and more consistent and to get more extension. And, he lives and dies with that four-seam fastball, which has – you know, outstanding rotation and carry through the zone. And when he cuts that off and doesn't finish it, it turned into a problem for him. And for a couple games there, he struggled a little bit.
Is it fair to say, like what I was telling JP, because JP was kind of mocking me, I was like, Bearclaw came in there, he really wasn't bad. He got the first two outs. It was a great play by Trey, right, on mm-hmm. Freeman's ball. And then he was just like one mistake. And I know that's sort of the nature of the beast, but I didn't think he was that bad.
You just can't make that one mistake.
Yeah, I know.
Well, the problem is that too, you can't make the mistake. You got to be consistent. You got to pound the strike zone. You can't get free bases, especially late in the games. And as we saw in Max's start on Monday, the margin for error in these games and all of in the big leagues in the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning is so razor thin. You can't make two errors in the back ends of these games and mm-hmm. expect to shut these teams out. Max was, he was hurt big time by not feeling a fundamental sacrifice bunt and a fundamental ground ball, which would have been out of the inning. And Max gets that win 2-1. And it's frustrating to me that we're still making these fundamental mistakes day in and day out, costing ourselves games, costing relievers, earned runs and unearned runs and costing the team victories. And it's something that has to stop.
Mm-hmm. Joined by Mike Rizzo, president of baseball operations, general manager of the Washington Nationals. We had David Cone on the show an hour ago, and I kind of asked him this to get his take on it. But with the eighth inning being such a problem, and you know the numbers, I believe the current eighth inning ERA for the Nationals is 8.84. So you're tickling a 9.0 ERA in the eighth inning. Have you guys discussed, looked at the analytics about possibly using openers at times and bring in the starters later?
We've discussed it with our back end of the rotation guys. I'm certainly not going to, I'm certainly not as open-minded with our big three, but we have looked at it and discussed it with our back of the rotation type of guys. I really like where Fetty's at right now in that five hole, and hopefully Annabelle gets back on track at a place that he's familiar to pitch in Atlanta. But to answer your question, yes, we've discussed it. We've discussed it more so with the back end of our rotation guys, and not with our front three.
Who would make the ultimate call then? Would it be a Davey decision, or would you say, hey, why don't we try this?
Well, it would be a group decision, but Davey's ultimate, he has the ultimate call on lineups and rotations and how to utilize the personnel and that type of thing. So it would be a Davey call in conjunction with all the information that we have and a group setting that all the coaching staff, GM, ownership would probably have some contributions in the conversation, but ultimately Davey makes the call.
What's the downside to that type of approach, Mike?
Well, the downside is that you're really counting on the rest of your rotation to go deep into games, and because the opener oftentimes utilizes your bullpen. You're going usually two or three or four relievers deep, depending on what that starting pitcher that comes in after the opener gives you.
Right. So if the starting pitcher only gives you three innings, now you're screwed because you already used up a couple innings earlier. Right, that's the idea.
Correct. That's the downside to it. But right. Like I said, it's something that we've discussed, and in certain situations, it would be something we'd be open minded to.
Mike, how close is Zim? And the reason I ask is he's your best defensive first baseman, and Adams didn't play last night because Freed's a lefty. But Adams struggled defensively in that last game of the Marlins series, and just wondering when Zim's going to get back in the lineup.
Well, Zim's got that plantar fasciitis. Those things are tricky injuries, and he's has begun some baseball activities. He can do just about everything but run full go, and obviously until he can do that, he's certainly not available to us. And he's not on the road trip with us. He's back at home, getting treatment and rehabbing it. And until he can go full go running wise, then we'll just have to wait and see. It's not about one guy. We need us in concert and as a group to play better fundamentally, to make less mistakes. You can't get picked off in these close games. You can't make errors late in games. You've got to play better defense. You got to hit cutoff men. You can't. You got to run the bases better. And that's something fundamentally we've been lacking. And it's very, very frustrating to the team and to the coaching staff and to ownership and to me. So those are things that have to get better.
Howie Kendrick's been on fire. It's just been so great to have him this year. And look, it's not like he's not playing a lot. I think he's played the fifth or sixth most games on your roster. But some people think he should be playing every damn day. Is there some thought to that, or is there sort of some are you just trying to keep him fresh?
You got to keep him fresh. He's 35 years old. He's coming off a severed Achilles tendon. If you push him too hard, he will tell you he needs days off by going on the disabled list. So I think Davey has managed that situation very, very well.
Right.
He's one of our, one of our most, effective hitters, offensive efficiency. He's terrific. He hits tough pitching and a guy that you can rely on to move the ball around and drive in a run at the most important situations. So, once you get greedy with a player, in his situation, I think that you get burnt by it. And I think Davey's done a good job of caretaking him into giving him as many as at bats as you can, but also protecting him.
Patrick Corbin is on fire. 4 wins this month, 2.06 ERA in May. Had a masterful outing against the Marlins in that complete game 4-hitter during the Memorial Day weekend. That was pretty awesome to watch.
Yeah, he's got it working pretty good right now. He's got great command of his two-seam fastball, and he's got 3 or 4 breaking pitches that he employs out during the game. He throws it anywhere 66 to 84. He can expand the break. He can tighten up the break. He can throw you a get-me-over breaking ball, and he can throw you a wipeout breaking ball. So he's really good at his craft. He's the ultimate pitcher, and he's a pitcher that has great command and good stuff, and one of the most fierce competitors that we have on this team. We who knows where we'd be without our big three starters. They've carried us throughout the early part of this season, and we're going to continue to lean on them for leadership and pitching, quality starts for us each and every time out.
What do you expect from Anibal tonight?
Well, like Anibal, he's good for 75 to 80 pitches or so. So hopefully he gives us 5-6 good innings, and we can turn it over to a hopefully rested bullpen and get us another W there in Atlanta and get out of town and have a day off.
Hey, I was just looking up Cody Bellinger's stats, which are incredible. And I'm just wondering, he was a guy who was drafted in the fourth round. So he's got 20 home runs, or maybe it's 21 right now.
20, yep.
Hitting almost 400. What did you see from him coming out of the draft?
Well, I think I'm not really familiar with where we had him on the draft board. Like I said, we're just locking in right now, thinking about the 2019 draft. Today's our first day of our draft preparation. So we've kind of got our minds, strictly on the 2019 draft. He went in the fourth round. What we've seen from him this year, though, he's one of the great elite players in all of baseball, probably one of the 5 or 6 best position players in the game right now. Plays both sides of the ball. He runs well, power from the left side, but will give in and take his single with when he's behind in the count. He's got a great 2-strike approach and a guy that can play the entirety of the game, and they got a good one over there.
Mike, what would make today's game special against the Braves is if somebody hit for the cycle. Brian W. Sr. from Waldorf is banking on the cycle tonight with Burke and Herbert Bank. Brian's already taking home a $100 gift card, but if any Washington baseball player hits for the cycle during tonight's game, he'll also take home $100,000 courtesy
nice.
Of Burke and Herbert Bank. Enter for your chance to bank on the cycle during next Wednesday's game. Details at thefandc.com/contest.
We haven't had one yet, right?
We have not.
We've been close.
I think there have only been
two. They're tough, man. They're tough to get.
They are. I think there's only 2 in Nats history, if I'm correct.
Exactly.
2.
Do we know who have? Does Trey have one of them?
I remember. I was at Trey's in Colorado. We got 5 hits and hit for the cycle. I remember one. Yeah. I think Guzman got one as a second baseman, and maybe Wilkerson.
So it might be 3.
It's 3.
Could be 3.
Did
you ever
Brad
hit for the
Wilkerson
cycle?
Definitely did.
Mike, did you ever hit for the cycle? Whether it was in high school or any level?
Hell no.
That's why you got it in the scouting game.
That's why I'm a scout.
Well, he might have done it in high school. I don't know.
Yeah. Apparently not.
It's hard, dude.
It's tough.
It's hard.
Hey, Mike, real quick. I'm just looking at a mock draft. I'm checking out these mock drafts for the mm-hmm. draft on June 3rd. Bobby Witt Jr., shortstop from some high school in Colleyville, Texas. I assume that's Bobby Witt's kid who we mm-hmm. watch pitch.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah, yeah. What type of player is this kid, the shortstop?
Oh, he's a hell of a player, man. This guy, son of a big leaguer, which we love. He's talented. He's got the right character and makeup. This guy can, as they say in the draft room, he can roll a pole, man. He can really hit and really good player. Mm.
Do you get excited?
Real high in the draft.
Do you get excited watching like high school kids? Does it still thrill you to kind of find a star and scout them and watch them develop?
I love this week, guys. For me, is I call the draft next Monday. That's our baseball Super Bowl, man. It's the most important day, most important 3 days of the year. That's how you build your team, and these guys have been hit on the road probably for the last 6 months. Going home maybe 2-3 times a month in the last 6 months. We lock in the draft room right now, starting today, and we'll be there till next Monday for 8, 10, 12, 14 hours a day, trying to grind it out, put the board together. And when it's our turn to make the call at pick 17 on day one, we'll have the right guy in hand, and hopefully he's an impact big leaguer for us.
How many guys, Mike, do you have, like, sort of – target where you say, like, maybe, I don't know, 30, 40 guys? Like, if we end up with these 40 guys, we're thrilled. You know what I mean? Do you have a list like that?
We have a wish list. It's not that large because of the baseball draft. We draft 40 rounds, and we probably sign 25 of those 40 players that we draft. We'll have a wish list each and every round of guys that we'd love to get. It's a great scene in the draft room when a guy falls to you. For instance, when Anthony Rendon fell to us at 6 years back, it was jubilation in the draft room because we knew we had the guy that we wanted. We had him ranked number 1 or 2 on the draft board, and we got him at 6. So that's a good feeling.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, well, good luck to you, man. It's an exciting time for you.
Appreciate it, guys.
All
Thanks
right.
a lot.
Thank you, buddy.
Talk to you next week, man.
It's Mike Rizzo.
It's amazing how all of these big leaguers' kids are all, a lot of them are just jumping into the league now. Biggio's kids, money.
Bellinger, by the way, is the son of a major leaguer. His dad was Clay Bellinger.
Clay Bellinger, right. But Craig Biggio's kid, Yastrzemski's grandson.
I saw he
played.
Just made it. Yeah.
We've heard about Guerrero's kid with Toronto. I mean, it's amazing. We're just getting so old. Guys that we just were watching when we were, in our 20s.
Prince Fielder had a full career.
I know.
And he's done.
Had to retire.
That's how old we are.
Yeah. I remember watching Prince Fielder.
We watched Craig Biggio's entire career, and now his son's playing.
I watched Prince Fielder take BP in Lakeland, Florida in spring training in 1989. When he was probably about 8 years old. He was this fat little 8-year-old who was jacking him out at a young age.
We're
probably like 9 years
big old
old
camera.
Huh? Yeah, I was.
And he was estranged from his dad for a while, wasn't he?
I think it got weird. Yeah, I think it got weird.
I think they ended up patching things up.
Did they at the end of the day?
I think so.
Yeah. Anyway, he came in studio with Evander Holyfield and?
Evander Holyfield, Prince Fielder, Cecil Fielder and?
Magic Johnson?
I think it was Magic.
I think it was Magic.
That's correct.
They started a Nubs network.
That's a power trio
right
there.
It was the One network. I think it's still around.
Really?
I think so.
Good for them.
I think so.
By the way, interesting, he does say that they're considering using an opener for the fourth and fifth
slots.
They're
definitely open to it.
Yes.
Which would be fascinating to see if they...
Well, that's what we were talking about. They wouldn't do it for your big three.
No. Yeah, you want to mess those guys.
You leave those guys alone.
Because that defeats the purpose.
You got to get those big three to pitch
but
through
when he
eight
said
innings.
That Annabelle's only got 75, 80 pitches in him...
Tonight could be a
disaster.
It could be a circus.
I think it's going to be.
You're probably going to have to score minimum 6 runs.
I think you need 10.
You might need 10. Might need 100.
Bet the over.
All right, phone number is 800-636-1067 if you want to chime in. We're the Junkies. I'm right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, real quick, I just want to give one more quick shout out to Steve, my guy Steve that called in yesterday.
Steve, the listener.
Yeah, he hooked up my whole airline debacle with United. Thank you. That dude probably took 2 hours out of his workday.
That's nice. Appreciate
to
it, Steve.
Help me out.
So hey, keep his number, too, because ever have an issue with United, I'm calling him, too.
You definitely never lose that number.
He's a big silly
with that.
Put him
in the old contact.
And it was a little weird. I had to tell my wife. I was like, yeah, I'm giving him all our personal information. She's like, does he work for United? No.
Right.
He's just a guy.
He's, you know what he is? Steve the Fixer. Steve the Fixer.
Hey, Savior Steve.
Can I give a shout out real quick, too?
Yeah, please.
My boy Amar Rana, the GM over at Priority Toyota in Springfield, right?
Right, right.
So my car is getting serviced, just a standard 15,000-mile service.
I need to get mine.
And I had a loaner. So I went over there, dropped the car off, they gave me a loaner. All right, so I ended up sitting in the lobby there for 2 hours.
Sure.
I'm not doing that with all the donks that just sit there.
Right.
So they're going to give me a loaner, right? They don't have to pay for
it. Sell the dealership.
So I take my loaner, and I go, my wife and I go to dinner. When we're driving home, the loaner starts to crap out.
Okay. Right?
Like it says, malfunctions everywhere.
Story's getting better.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't a Toyota.
Yeah.
So it's malfunction, check engine. So my car was only going 5 miles per hour.
Right.
Finally, I stopped the car, and it finally started to go again, but all of the alert lights were still on. So I called Amar. I said, dude, how am I going to get to work tomorrow?
Right.
He says, I got you. So at 10:30 last night, watching the Nats game, a flatbed tow truck backs into my driveway.
Nice.
With a big-ass Toyota Sequoia.
What's it like to be the
woke
king?
Woke up the entire neighborhood, I guarantee.
What's it like to be the king?
Flatbed tow truck backs up into my driveway.
Yeah.
Off comes the big 2019 Toyota Sequoia.
Right.
And he took away the poopy loaner.
The hoop.
That's service, right?
At 10:30 at night.
Impressive.
I mean, you don't get that kind of treatment everywhere.
No, that's done.
So no, you need to be KOA.
You need to be the king of Ashford.
You need to go over to Priority today in Springfield and just tell Amar you're the man. Right.
If you missed the top of the show, Pete Medhurst isn't doing updates today. It's Juan Romero. And the reason why Pete isn't doing the updates today is he's doing play-by-play for the Washington Nationals. And we played some of the clips, but I believe he deserves a little more shine.
Absolutely.
Because that was right at 6 a.m. We're really happy for Pete. He's a grinder. He works a million jobs. His dream was to call a professional baseball game, and he achieved that last night.
One of his many dreams. I think he's got big aspirations.
He's a grinder. I mean, we sometimes tease him because, like, he does play-by-play for Navy, and he's great doing college football, college basketball, but he sprinkles in volleyball, rugby.
He does everything. Lacrosse.
He does it all.
Volleyball.
He does horse races.
He's the hardest working guy
I think he does,
I know.
Navy water polo.
Yes.
He does everything.
And then he umpires on the weekends.
And frankly, he's resentful when he doesn't get any open job. Like, if there's a job opening anywhere, and frankly, he probably is qualified for it.
Sure.
Yeah.
So anyway, this is Pete on the call with Charlie Slows last night. You can listen to him again on 106.7 The Fan.
Nationals nothing, Braves nothing. We get set to go to the top of inning number 3. It'll be Victor Robles, the pitcher Steven Strasburg, and the top of the order, and Trey Turner. In with a play-by-play, sitting in for Dave Jagler, here's Pete Medhurst.
Thank you, Charlie. Once again, good evening, everybody. Max Fried working from the first base side of the slab, a lanky left-hander into the wind. He misses outside for ball one. Robles, having a solid season on the year for the Nationals. He averages at .242, but amongst rookies, he's among the league leaders in many categories right now. The 1-0 pitch. Hit towards center field on a line, and a sliding catch. We had to wait for the umpires. Acuna came sliding in, and the umpire out at second base, Larry Vanover, makes the call, and Acuna robs Robles here of a base hit.
Nice job, Larry Vanover.
Nice job.
Second base on Pedro.
Pete getting all those little details in there, all those little nuggets.
I mean, I hadn't thought about this in probably decades, really, but the first time that we ever were on the air, even a commercial, that was like big for us.
Of course.
Remember we did a Heineken spot?
Yeah.
We did a Heineken beer party spot that aired like on
like Channel 20.
UPN or one of those networks, the WB back
sure.
in the day.
Yep. Sure.
And you would tape it and record it. EB's father actually would tape every one of our weekend shows.
Yep.
All right, so I told Pete, I texted Pete to call in. Pete, you there, buddy?
Hold on, I got to punch him up. Pete!
Pedro.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Hello,
hey,
Pedro.
Congrats, hey, my friend.
We were talking about your first time calling a Major League Baseball game, playing a lot of the audio. Awesome. And I was asking the boys, were you nervous before the game?
Yeah, I tweeted a picture of my Fitbit right before I did the starting lineups and batting order.
Oh, yeah?
And the heart rate was at 103.
Oh, geez.
What is it typically at? Because you do consume
102.
A lot of Coca-Cola.
Not
Koozie Coke.
Yeah.
No, Coca-Cola.
Usually resting is somewhere in the upper 60s to low 70s, but I tweeted a picture, and it was a 103. Now, the good news is it slowly went down after that once I got the starting lineups in batting order out of the way.
No, man, you sounded
you
great.
You sounded comfortable.
Well, Pete, that was a tough first out call had because you had
delay.
Because you had to wait for the umpire signal, and you didn't want to jump the gun. So congratulations. Well,
Yeah, can you imagine you blow first call?
Yeah, your first call.
That would have been a disaster.
Uh-huh. Right. It would have been, and he's out. No, he's safe. You know, I mean, that's
but it happens.
That's one thing.
Believe me, I listen to Redskins games, and it happens all the time.
Hey, I mean, be nice to my guy.
I'm just telling you.
That's a cheap shot, JP.
It's not an easy job. It's not an easy job.
You have to, on any close call, I mean, you know, the beauty of radio is people haven't seen it yet. So they're waiting for you to describe it. So
right.
you have that extra second or two waiting for the umpire mechanic, just as we know in baseball with home plate umpires, sometimes their strike call takes forever to bring their right hand up. And in this case, Larry Vanover, the second base umpire, had to wait because Acuna had turned his back to him. So there's no way he had seen the glove until Acuna brings the glove back up and shows it to him. So, you know, you got to be patient. You know, you want to get the call on time, but at the same time, like you said, you got to make sure it's right.
Pete, you're basically our age. What was your first paid play-by-play gig?
If I'm not mistaken, it was Salisbury 1990, and I know it was a basketball game at James M. Bennett High School. I cannot remember the opponent, but I refereed the girls' game at 4 o'clock, and then I broadcasted the boys' game at 6 o'clock after that.
Unbelievable, Pete.
That's pretty awesome.
That's
so you
hysterical.
Started calling a Salisbury basketball game, and last night you did Nationals Braves.
I mean, there was a time where I thought I was going to get to call Jason Bishop in a Salisbury University basketball game.
And they still say it had learned.
Did not happen.
Still say. Had Lurch played on that team in with Andre Foreman and Damian Ross, they'd have won the national championship. Huh. But
that's right. That is
Jason
true.
Jason didn't want to wake up, though.
They had 6 a.m. practices.
Yeah, that's early.
I couldn't do that.
He punted his college basketball career because he had to wake up. Ironically, now he's got to wake up to do this show.
Yeah,
do you want to hear
I'm
Pete?
Getting paid for
By
it.
Comparison, I know the listeners want to hear. Here is Jason Bishop on the call of a Salisbury game.
Where the Salisbury State Seagulls will take on the UMES Fighting Hawks in a rematch of last year's battle of the Eastern Shore. Last year's score, of course.
Having a good lunch.
The war at the shore.
What happened?
Yeah, enough of that. Enough
what happened?
By the way.
The war at the shore,
way,
buddy. War at the shore.
In Salisbury, Maryland, my name is Bish.
Yep. Go ahead.
Jason and I both called that basketball game. I was calling it on AM 960, and you were obviously calling it on Salisbury's radio station.
Which, by the way, no one ever listened to because it was like channel 62 on TV, and no one ever tuned in.
This guy tuned in.
I love it.
Yeah, Jeff Bernstein.
Yeah, there was one guy who listened.
Hey, Pete, what was the overall response? Was like Charlie complimentary and Jack and everybody?
Yeah, I mean, Charlie, Dave, and Jack have been unbelievably supportive through the whole process. I mean, I spent some time in the booth, last week with them, seeing how they execute everything, just trying to get a feel for how everything is going. And, you know, right before the third inning, because in Atlanta's stadium, the TV booth for Masson is literally right next to us. You can see through the glass, and right during the commercial break before the start of the third inning, you know, Jags looks over at me and gives me a big thumbs up, you know,
right.
He's doing TV for Bob Carpenter
right.
This week. So, you know, those guys, I mean, couldn't be more professional. I mean, you know, Charlie, people realize Charlie's been the original voice of this team. He's only missed 5 games the entire time since 2005.
That's crazy.
You know, he broadcasted the Bullets for several years, and had to, broadcast Tampa Bay baseball when it wasn't exactly the best product on the field at times. So, I mean, Charlie's been doing this for a long time, and then Dave joined him the next year in 2006. So those guys have been simply fantastic throughout this entire process and made it very, very easy to at least give it a shot, that's for sure.
Well, maybe you got to tell Charlie it's about time to retire.
Take some days off.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not one of those guys that likes to push people out the door. When it's my time and somebody feels it's my time to do something, then it'll be my time.
You want to push A1 out the door.
with that heart rate, that time better be soon.
Hey, the good news is I have several blood pressure medications to help keep that heart rate
yes.
down. So that's the good thing.
Well, Pete, congrats, Pete. Man, awesome. We're super excited for you, buddy.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate your support as always. You guys have been fantastic.
Hey, we should ask you, though, and maybe let's play the home run call, and then we'll ask what we were wondering, because here's Pete's home run call coming up. We have it?
This is Howie Kendrick, right?
Kendrick, slightly open stance, Swarzak into the wind and the pitch. Hammered toward right center field and deep. Markakis and Acuna will watch it go into the right center field bleachers for a home run.
Did you know it was a home run? It sounded like you probably thought it wasn't going to be a home run, and then it just snuck out of there.
The problem is, and Charlie and I talked about this after the game, like at Nats Park and in Atlanta, you are so high up in the air,
right,
watching the trajectory of the ball, you know, you're not quite sure how hard it's going and how far it's going. There are times where a ball gets hit up in the air and you're thinking, okay, this is going to go down the right field line. All of a sudden it's the catcher 3 feet from the on deck circle making the catch. So because some of these newer press boxes are so high in the air, you have to watch the trajectory of the ball carefully. And that ball last night, because it was a warm night, we had temperatures in the 90s, the ball just kept going and going. And I was reading Markakis and Acuna. That's what you do in situations like that. The outfielders will take you to where the ball is going.
Right.
And that's why as both of them got close to the wall, they were running like they thought they had a chance at it. And then you finally start to see them slow up as they get to the warning track. And, you know, they're watching it, you know, go up into the stands at that point. So,
You know, typically when Dave and Charlie, because they do it so seamlessly, it's not like I'm paying attention to the details of it. I'm just enjoying the broadcast.
Yeah, they weave in the spots. They do everything.
They do it, and they do it great. But how often do they typically, like, share innings, or they just do it sort of impromptu? Because sometimes I feel like they're both participating. Sometimes I feel like it's just one of them. I know that they have planned innings, like first and second is Charlie, second and third is Dave or whatever. But how often do they just sort of impromptu just both chime in?
Oh, they do that all the time. They
right.
do that all the time. The only time that they don't do that is usually in that third inning, Charlie will, you know, head down the hallway, grab a beverage, go to the bathroom.
Hot dog or something, right?
Yeah, something like that, sure. And I think sometimes people get confused. If you hear one guy seemingly talking all the time, it's not because he's trying to shut the other guy out. It's because he's the only guy in the booth, so somebody's got to say something because it's radio.
Yep.
And vice versa. You know, Dave will, you know, pop out when it's one of Charlie's innings to get a quick breather or something like that. That's why, you know, you'll hear them interact almost all the time when they're both in there together. And when they're not interacting, it's because one or the other has simply stepped out to catch a breather for a second like that, or to go get a beverage or something.
Gotcha. All right, Pete, congrats again.
Congrats, buddy.
Check him out.
Thanks.
106.7 The Fan. You'll listen to Pete Medhurst on the call of your
Keep
Nationals
it up, pal.
Games.
Appreciate it, guys.
Yep.
6:50 with the pregame show tonight right here on The Fan.
There you go. Bet it all. Bet it all. Bet on the Braves and the over.
All right, we'll be right back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. You know, yesterday, our buddy J.P. Finley from NBC Sports Washington tweeted out that the Hard Knocks decision is imminent. And I don't know if that means it's going to happen today, tomorrow, in the next week, in the next 2 weeks. We're all rooting for that to happen, right? That it's the Redskins. You're a Redskins fan. Are you rooting for that not to happen? Because a lot of people think that's somewhat of a curse.
No, the team's already cursed. And not because of the name or anything stupid. They're just bad ownership. I would love for it to happen. My fear would be, and I would preface it, and I hope everybody understands this. I think this is just a given, that whatever they show us will be fake. So it's already fake news, like when they tweet a fake picture of Alex Smith, you know, throwing, and they delete the external fixator that's on his leg.
They cropped it out.
When they cropped that out. It's already like North Korea. I know that people over here cringe when I say this because we're trying to develop a relationship over there. But it's like North Korea. It's all fake news that comes out of there. And so if they let cameras in, it's not going to be real. It will be literally fake news.
I was a big fan of the Brian LaFemina era. As short as it was.
It was
as
a short tenure.
As it was.
But, I mean, they'll have Bruce in there, and he'll be all happy-go-lucky, and everything's hunky-dory, and it's just going to be fake!
Well, hopefully they won't have any Bruce on it.
I mean, they shouldn't.
It'd be a lot of Haskins and sweat, first
I know,
and foremost.
But everything that they have, it will just be like a putting Rex a flower Ryan. On it and making it look like it's all rosy
it's
over there.
It's a fluff piece.
It'll be total fluff.
A Rob Ryan. It'd be a lot on Rob Ryan.
Well, that'd be great.
Montez Sweat, Haskins, probably Keenum, probably then they'd maybe Trey Quinn, somebody like that.
But you know how much they like to control the narrative over there, and it will just be a disaster. It will just be a real picture.
But I think what you're going to see the reps. Some
you'll
of them.
See
I know
some
you don't see
it.
That
not
much.
Much.
But
you see a couple. And,
yeah, but you'll hear the coaches. I feel like when you get the coaches with the players, you know, in the actual practice session, you're going to get something that's real there. Like Gruden and O'Connell, who's going to be the offensive
coordinator.
Yeah, Gruden's
not going to be fake.
They're not going to be
fake.
He's
incapable.
He's just going to be himself.
No, but anything with Bruce in it will be fake.
Right.
Bruce will control what clips they show.
I don't know that he can.
I'm telling you.
Just like the teams can't control.
It will be the worst one ever done. It will be the least real.
No, there are five.
It will.
There are five teams that can't say no to Hard Knocks.
Yeah, they're one of them.
So if Hard Knocks says, we're doing the Redskins this year, they're doing the Redskins. Because a lot of people think that it might be the Raiders. Now, the Raiders just had a controversial signing because they brought in Richie Incognito.
Richie.
Right.
Which, you know, he drops N-bombs left and right. We know the history there.
He threatens to kill people at work at a funeral parlor. And, he's a complete whack job.
Which is crazy because Mike Mayock, who sounds like Valdez.
He definitely sounds like Valdez. He's a mix-up of Valdez and somebody that goes like an Eagles game.
Mike Mayock, former NFL Network commentator, got the job as a GM. Had a draft that most people say was pretty good, and they were really high on drafting guys with high moral character.
Right.
And then he goes and signs Richie Incognito.
Hey, if a guy can block.
He says, can't
have
all,
on the roster.
I think his response is, can't have all Boy Scouts.
Man, that's got to be hard when you have a lot of brothers on their team, on your roster.
Right.
And you bring in, especially vets, and you bring in a guy who dropped the N-bomb.
Yeah,
that you know,
it's a tough sell.
I don't know how you sell it to him.
Yeah, I don't know.
Especially when it's your first year.
But so a lot of people think the Raiders would be
crazy.
Yeah, but HBO selection. But my thought is they're going to wait till the Raiders go to Vegas.
Right. And I've heard J.P. Finley alluding to this on social media. I heard him on Chad's show recently. And he's acting like he knows something because he's putting it out there. He's like, I'm telling you, I think it's going to be the Redskins.
Well, I think they're the Vegas favorite for some reason.
So I feel like it's going to be the Skins because I feel like the fix is
that
in.
Why?
Because J.P. doesn't strike me as a guy who's just going to go out there and say, I'm pretty sure this is going to happen unless he knows it's going to happen. I think he knows.
He's got some insider scoop.
I think he knows.
Now, are you sure he said he's pretty sure it's going to happen or he's
speculating? He said he's got an informed opinion.
Okay.
So somebody's telling him something. I think he's got a leaker.
I think it'd be cool.
I think it'd be great. I would, of course, I would love to see it. I'm just warning everyone that it's going to be fake news.
So
it's going to be all hunky-dory, rosy, and it's just not going to be
so
real.
So if the cameras show Haskins in his dorm room at like 10 o'clock at night studying his playbook, that's fake?
That's probably fine. But just anything with Bruce, anything with Dan.
I don't think they'll be involved at all.
The guys are there.
Yeah, but HBO is they're not going to put on some rosy show.
I think when Bruce Allen sees the camera, he's going to run the other way.
Yeah, yeah, but last year was Cleveland. They showed Dorsey a lot.
They showed, John Dorsey was a huge part of it.
He's more willing to do it. I think Bruce Allen detests the media.
I just think he'll control the narrative.
I don't think
to any extent he can.
I don't think he'll be able to control it, so therefore he won't want to be a part of it.
Yeah, he's going
to
probably veto it. Say, I don't want any part of it.
Doug Williams out there, and Doug Williams put his foot in his mouth.
Right. He'll say something dumb.
I'm just telling you. I think it will be the worst one ever, but I'm thrilled to see anything behind the curtain.
I was out on Hard Knocks for a few years, and I remember you saying, oh, it's great, doesn't matter what team. Then when they did some of the Nubs teams they did in the middle years,
after the first few years, one year, how boring.
I was out on it.
I mean, it's the same storyline all the time. The rookie struggling to make
it.
The veteran struggling to hold on.
They'll always find a guy.
Last year,
it was that tight end who had the wacky dad.
Yeah. He's already retired.
He's already retired to go play
with rocks.
But
or
HBO wants to have some drama and some interesting stories, so it's not going to be all hunky-dory. There's going to be drama in it.
I accept that. I'm just saying it's not going to be a real picture of the organization. I just don't believe it.
We probably didn't get a real picture of any organization
in history.
I agree.
They're terrible.
They're interesting storylines because I think like the Bryce Love thing is going to be interesting. Now, nobody expects him to play this year as maybe in the pup list, but still it's a comeback they're going to show.
There's plenty of great storylines there. I agree with you. I just think that they won't let us see the real scoop. Because the real scoop is it's a disaster. Am I the only one that thinks that?
Although you had the most optimistic take when we did our first official record.
Because I don't have respect for their opponents. I think they play some poops. Some poopers.
Right. The opponents that beat them every year.
Shocker. It came out yesterday.
The team that has the easiest schedule
in the NFL.
Yeah, we have the easiest schedule.
The New England Patriots.
That's not true.
Third year in a row, apparently.
That's not true. I thought we had the easiest.
Apparently, it's been tilted down.
That's because the AFC East blows.
Yes.
It's the only reason.
The Patriots have the easiest schedule in the NFL.
But I have them at 7 wins. That's the most optimistic.
Amongst the junkies, it is. Yeah. All right, we got to get out of here. For Bish Cake CB, I'm JP. We'll see you tomorrow.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.